Hi, welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves right in the middle of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, that is 6a. And we are right at the middle, in the middle of the page, at the two dots, where it goes back to the Mishnah, and it says, V'yotzin af al hakilayim. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. So our Mishnah says that on the intermediate days of the festival, on Chol HaMoed, the Beit Din would send out messengers. So we have been talking for the last several recordings that those officers of the court would mark graves to protect people from stumbling onto Tame areas. Now we see another job. They also go out to enforce the provision of Kilayim. It is a Torah prohibition to plant different kinds of species together so that they grow together. This is called kilayim, and there are a lot of different rules related to it, which are permitted and which are forbidden. But when farmers are planting different types of produce in adjoining areas, sometimes they grow together and they trespass the law of kilayim. So people are not supposed to do that, but if they did do it, they would send out officers of the court who would see that they were violating the laws of Kilayim, and they actually had the power of appropriation. They could go into farmers' fields and pull up the offending vegetation until the proper boundary or proper mix between the species was established. So the Gemara asks, though, the Akilayim b'chulo shel moed nafkinan? They went out to check on the Kilayim, on the mixed species, during the intermediate days of the festival, during Chol HaMoed, Uriminhu. I'll bring a contradiction to this. We learned, and we did this in Masechet Megillah, which we did right before this, Be'echa Be'adar Mashmien Ala Shkalim V'Ala Kilayim. On the first of Adar, which is 1 month before the end of the year, they would make an announcement that people should get ready to give their half shekels, which were due on the first of Nisan, and they would make an announcement about Kilayim, about these forbidden mixtures, so that people had a month to get their act together and prevent their fields from having these forbidden species mixed together. B'chamisha Asarbo, on the 15th of Adar, Korina ta Megillah, they would read the Megillah Bakrachim in the cities, and Tosfot points out that this must be a mistake because we read the Megillah in the cities on the 14th. The only time we read the Megillah on the 15th is in cities that are walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. So Tosfot's answer is that we're just estimating here the 15th of the month, or else it's referring specifically to those cities that were walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. But anyway, on the 15th of the month is when Purim is, and at that time, v'yotzin l'kavetz et hadrachim, the emissaries of the court would go out to clear the roadways because and to fix the roadways. So some people read that l'kavetz as to get rid of the thorns, from the language of coats, but it also could mean that they wanted to put new asphalt down and fix the borders and make sure that there weren't potholes, all that kind of stuff. Because we said earlier, a page or two ago, that if people got hurt or got into fights and any blood was spilled on the road because the court had not fixed the public roadways, the highways, they were responsible for that bloodshed. So they go out to fix the roads so that people can come up to Yerushalayim on Pesach. On Pesach, ulatakein harchovod, and to fix the market streets, v'lamod hamikvaod, and to measure the mikvahs and make sure that they were kosher, v'ochsein kol tarchei rabim, and to do all of the needs of the public, to fix up all the public infrastructure, umetzainin atakvarot, and they would mark the graves. Again, people were coming to Yerushalayim, so they wanted to not put a stumbling block in front of them so that they would become tamei. V'yotzim ala kilayim, and then they also went out on to investigate whether or not there were forbidden mixtures in the fields. So here we see clearly that they went out on the 15th of Adar to check on the Kilayim, not during Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is a month later. Now Rashi points out that all of these things were done during Chol HaMoed. They also sent out officers of the court on Chol HaMoed to mark the graves and to fix the streets. That's what it says in our Mishnah. So why doesn't the Gemara ask on all of these items? And the answer that they give is that all of these other things, like fixing roads and measuring mikvahs, are things that have to be done with some frequency. So yes, we understand that they did it on the 15th of Adar, but they already had to do more of it a month later. It's something that is a recurring, maintenance is a recurring item. But specifically the kilayim, which are, you only have one growing season, would seem like if you're doing it on the 15th of Adar, why do you need to do it a month later? As we'll see, that's a mistaken assumption. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, we have a machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Chad Amar, one says, Kan bebachir, kan beafil. One has to do with quickly maturing plants, and kan beafil, one has to do with immature plants. Bachir means plants that ripen earlier. So there were some plants that were ripening already in the 15th of Adar, and when they went out in the 15th of Adar, they were able to check on the kilayim of those fruits. Kan ve'afil. Afil, as in we have, you know, when we talk about the Barad and the Arbad, the two plagues in Egypt, so the Arbad ate up, sorry, the Barad destroyed whatever the Arba didn't eat up. So it says there in the Torah, ki afilotena. Some of the plants were immature and they didn't get to destroy it in the first plague, so then they got destroyed in the second plague. So these plants don't ripen until later on in Nisan. So when they go out the second time, they come to Ruto. So that's one opinion. That's one way of resolving the contradiction. The Chad Amar, the other one said, Kan bizraim kan biyirakot. One has to deal with shoots and one has to deal with vegetables. In other words, the first time they go out, they're looking at the early growings before they have fully flowered or become fruits, and they do the best they can. But then when they go back later and they see how the plants actually grew to full maturity, then they could pluck out the actual vegetables as they grew. It's also possible that the difference between Zra'im and Yirakot has to do with the type that they are. Zra'im could be grains, so they grow in a certain kind of way, and Yirakot would be vegetation that grows fruits. So regarding the grain, it was easier to see already in Adar how the grain was growing and which ones were Kilayim, but the fruits, I guess you had to wait until they blossomed more in order to see them. Anyway, those are two ways of resolving the contradiction. We'll give one more way. Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yassi said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu, they didn't teach this, ela she'en nitsan nikar, except for relating to a time when the blossom was not recognizable. Aval nitsan nikar yotzin alehen. But if the blossom was recognizable, then they did go out on them. In other words, it's not so different than, I think, Bachir and Afil, but they were saying that when they went out the first time, they were getting the early ones, the ones that already blossomed. And when they went out the second time, but they weren't allowed to do the ones that hadn't blossomed yet, whereas when they went out the second time, they got the ones that blossomed later. So I'm not exactly sure what the difference is between Bachir and Afil. It could be that Bachir and Afil were two different crops. They were planted at different times, whereas here they were just looking to see what level of flowering the plants were at, no matter which crop they were in. But I'm not sure exactly what the difference is. The Gemara continues, Mai shna b'chulo shel moed denafkinan. Why specifically do we learn that they had to go out on chol ha-moed? Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yaakov said the name Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum schar p'ula, because of the wages that were paid, demosli gaban, that they could get them much less expensively. So what it seems like is that lots of people were not working on Chol HaMoed because there were limitations on the amount of labor you're allowed to do in your field. You're not really supposed to work on Chol HaMoed, but I guess some of those people were happy to be hired by the Beit Din in order to do public labor. So on the one hand, this is nice for the court that they can get cheap labor. On the other hand, if the idea was that people should rest and not be doing work, even though this is for the public good, it still seems kind of weird that you're taking people away from their families and their relaxation in order to hire them to do this work just to save a buck. But let's go on and see. They specifically, they want to save the public money. So there's something very valorous about the idea of not spending public money wantonly. So if you should do it when it's least expensive. Certainly they were paying a full wage when they sent them out on the 15th of Adar. So I guess they could save a little money by doing it over Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Zvid, v'itema Rav Mesharshia. Shma Mina, you can learn from this, ki yahavinan lehu schar mitrumat halishka. You can learn from this that the wage paid to these workers came from the Trumat Halishka, came from the temple treasury. In other words, it was paid for by public funds. Yahavinan lehu, that was given to them. De isal kadatach, that if you were to think, midid hu yahavinan lehu, that they charged a fine to the actual owners of the field, that the owners of the field are the one, or that the that they charge the farmers for the inspection. My nafgalan minaihu, why would it come out for us from them? Kol kama debau litein lahu, whatever you needed, they would give it to them. Meaning, we don't have to be so careful to save a buck for these farmers who are violating the law. Meaning, they're supposed to be in charge of their fields to make sure that kilayim aren't growing on there. They're in violation of the law. We go out to check them. Why do we care if it's a little more expensive or a little less expensive? We should do it whenever we need to do it. And if they don't want to get charged, then they won't let kilayim grow in their field. So from here we see, though, that the fact that we want to make sure that we save us, that we are as thrifty as possible, is because it comes from the public funds. The ad kama, how careful were they about kilayim? Like, when, what was the borderline in which they had to decide whether or not to uproot plants or not uproot plants? Amar of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Rav Shmuel Yitzchak said, I'm on the last line of Avamad Aleph, ke'ota sheshaninu, like that which we have learned in a Mishnah, kol sa'ah, every area that was a sa'ah, which is a certain amount of acreage, sheyesh ba rova zera miminacher, that had a quarter of seeds from one other type, yima'et, they had to reduce the amount of the other kind. So the kilayim is fundamentally a mixture. So in any mixture, you're going to have a primary ingredient and a lesser ingredient. So when the lesser ingredient reaches a certain percentage, and in this case, it's 1/25 of the crop, that's how you measure between sa'ah and rova, is 1/25. If 1/25 of the minority species is growing mixed in with the majority species, that's too much. You have to limit it to less than 1/25. Okay, we flip the page to Vav Amud Bet. So what it sounds like is that if they saw that there was more than 1/25 of two species growing together, what they would do is they would pull out some of the minority species until the ratio went down enough. The Hatanya, but did we not learn in a Braita? Hitkinu, they made an edict, they made a decree. Sheyehu mafkirin kol hasadeh kula, that if somebody was in violation of this kilayim rule, that they made the whole field hefker. In other words, it's kind of like, you know, the health commissioner comes into your restaurant, and if he finds a violation, he doesn't just make you fix the violation, he shuts you down. And then you have to go through all the pain and suffering and lost business of getting yourself reinspected and opened again, because they don't want you to violate the health code. So here too, they if they found them violating the kilayim rules, they made the whole field hefker, and then they couldn't benefit from that field. And that was a pretty hefty punishment, enough of a punishment that it would be a real disincentive to violate the rules. But if that's the case, that they would make the whole field hefger, in other words, ownerless, then what do you mean? Yima'et. Yima'et sounds like they just pull up a couple plants and everything's fine. Lo kasha, the Gemara says, there's no contradiction between the two of these. Kan kodim takana, kan la'achar takana. Before they made this decree, the officials used to just pull up some of the plants and they would fix the problem. But after they made the decree, they were much tougher. Now the Gemara is going to explain why they had to get much tougher. In other words, the Beit Din didn't want to be tough with the Jewish farmers. They wanted to be nice to them. But sometimes when you're nice to people, it backfires, as we explain. Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita, Barishona, in the beginning, Hayu Okrin, they would pull up the offending plants. They would be Mimma'i. They would reduce the kilayim. Umashlichin lifnei bemtam, and then they would throw the plants in front of the animals. Vayubale batim smechim, and then the owners of the field were actually thrilled. They were so happy. Shtei smachot, they were thrilled twice. They had two simchas. Achat sheminechashchin lahem sadotehen, one because the officers of the court on the public dime were doing their work for them. They were weeding out, thinning out their fields, which actually is important for proper growth. The achat shemashlichin lifnei bemtam, and two, they were feeding their animals, and it was all free. So they were so happy, and it was not a good incentive. It was a disincentive for them to do the right thing. Hitkinu, so they made a decree. Sheyihu okrin umashlichin ala drachim. Instead of throwing the vegetation in front of their animals, they would pluck it up and throw it on the road where it would get trampled and it couldn't be used. The adayin hayu smechin simcha gdola, and the farmers were still super happy about this. Sheminachashchin sadotehen, because they were still doing the work of weeding out their fields. Hitkinu, so they made a second decree, Sheyehu mafkirin kol hasadeh kula, that they would actually make a punitive fine, that if they found kilayim growing on someone's field, they would be mafkir, they would make the whole field ownerless, and anyone could come and take the produce of the farmers. So even though the Beit Din didn't want to be punitive, the farmers did not have enough of an incentive not to follow the laws of kilayim to do it without some harsher measures. So they, in the end, developed the harsher measures for the officers of the court. That brings us up to the Mishnah. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.